Thank you very much, David. Good morning, everybody. Oh. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you, and lovely that we have visitors in the service. If this is your first time or the first few times you've been, we welcome you warmly in the name of the Lord. We have a special person back in church today, and it's Pam who's in church for the first time. Lovely to see you, Pam, and you notice that Ivan's guitar is being played by Charlie, and you're delighted with that, and we're delighted with that, and it's just lovely. And the band played well this morning, didn't they? So let's hear it for the band. And Sid is with Mum today. It's lovely to see Sid. And I feel drawn, you know, to people who have the same hairstyle as me. Do you know that? It's absolutely true. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like you to turn to the scripture. We haven't got much time left, so I'm not going to be long today, but I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis, and I want to read three portions of scripture to set the scene and then focus on our text this morning, which is found in Hebrews 11. And the first little section is in Genesis chapter 50. And we're going to read just four verses, Genesis 50, verse 22 down to 26. And I'm going to speak for a few moments today on something which the Lord really surprised me about a few weeks ago. I'm going to speak on Joseph's bones. And many of you will be wondering how on earth that will help us, but I pray that it will. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 22, Father, we commit to you this word. We thank you for your promise that you have said your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you intend. We pray that it shall be so today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis 50, 22, if we're all there. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Now I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 13, please, and one verse. Exodus 13 and verse 19. We're following to get the context. Exodus 13, verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. And now finally, I'd like to turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, and by this time, of course, the Israelites had crossed the Jordan, and they were in the Promised Land. And verse 32 of Joshua 24, and Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem, in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver, from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And then our text today is found in Hebrews 11:22, and this is the final verse. Hebrews 11:22. And the writer to the Hebrews says, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. The writer to the Hebrews correctly understood what Joseph himself had experienced towards the end of his life. And he saw what Joseph himself saw just before he died. And verse 22 of Hebrews 11 says, when his end was near. And I pray that we shall see it again this morning. And if you look at verse 22 of Hebrews 11, you'll see that it can be divided into two parts. First, it has reference in regard to the children of Israel. It says, by faith, when his end was near, Joseph spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. So its first reference is in regard to Israel's development and Israel's deliverance. And secondly, it's in regard to Joseph himself. Joseph himself saw what would happen to him, and he gave instructions about his bones. And I want to say three things quickly this morning. I want to say, first of all, that Joseph, by faith, saw the future inheritance of the people of God because he believed the promise of God. If we go back to the Genesis account in Genesis 50 that we read, Joseph says to his brothers, God will surely come to your aid. Or as the King James Version says, God will surely visit you. Notice Joseph uses the word surely. There's an emphatic tone here. There's nothing doubtful or vague. There's a statement here marked by assurance and certainty. It's a statement that Joseph makes born out of conviction and strength. He says, I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid, and he will take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, but you must then carry my bones up from this place. Why was this? Why was Joseph so sure? What was the powerful ingredient that made Joseph so assured? It was because of his subjective experience of God. For all people, it can be said that Joseph in his own life had proved without doubt the faithfulness, grace, and providence of God. And I want to ask you this morning, have you proved the grace and faithfulness and providence of God? Because if you look at the history of Joseph's life, we know it. He was abandoned by his brothers in a pit. He was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. He eventually found himself in Potiphar's house, and he was falsely accused and slandered by Potiphar's wife. He was wrongly imprisoned. There's not much else that could have gone wrong about Joseph's life, is there? And that's about as bad as it got. But then we begin to see God's favor. He meets Pharaoh's wine steward, the cupbearer, the NIV says. He meets the baker in prison. The baker was executed, but the cupbearer was restored to his former position. And Genesis 40, verse 23 says that Eva got Joseph, but later when Pharaoh had some troubling dreams, the cupbearer remembers the young Hebrew he met in prison who could interpret dreams. And Pharaoh sends for him, and he comes out of the prison, and Joseph is able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh makes him effectively the prime minister of the country. And he gives him the chain of office, he gives him his signet ring, and he makes him ride in his chariot, and he commands the people to shout before him, make way, make way. And the Bible says in Genesis 41 that Pharaoh put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. What a turnaround. And God did turn things around for Joseph, but it didn't happen overnight. And Joseph, through many twists and turns in his life, before things got better for him. But in all those difficulties, God preserved him. And that's what I want to say this morning, that in spite of the difficulties you may face, in spite of the difficulties that I may face, we have a God who will preserve us. God didn't let him get finished off. And the oath that Joseph made to his brothers, swear to him, reveals much about Joseph's understanding of the promises of God. He fully trusted in what God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He understood and believed in the covenant with God, and he understood and believed that God was a covenant-keeping God and that God would not break his promise. My friend, you know, God will never break his promise to you. Joseph knew God's promise would preserve him. The psalmist said, "Your promise preserved my life." Psalm 119. Let me say to you about God's covenants. They can never be broken, friends. They can only be replaced by better ones. Did you know that? Let me say to every one of you this morning that God will do for you what he has promised. He will. And he will provide you with a full assurance because he has bound himself with you to a covenant with you which he has written in blood in the cross of Calvary. He made his son Jesus your representative. He made his son Jesus your advocate when he died for you on the cross. And therefore you can rest this morning knowing and believing the promise of God for your life. And when all around you is shaky, and when all around me is shaky, and the world is falling apart, you and I can rest in the promises of God because we know we have a covenant-keeping God. God keeps his promises. I love that verse in Exodus 2. When God heard the groaning of the children of Israel, and it says, God remembered the covenant he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Israelites were freed from the bondage of slavery in Egypt because of one sole factor. Do you know that? It was because God remembered his promise. God remembered his covenant. And you're saved and you're delivered this morning, not by anything you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And because God has kept his covenant in his son Jesus Christ. And you can be healed this morning because God is a covenant-keeping God. Because by his stripes we have been healed. God saved you because God made a covenant. What does Peter say? He says his divine power has given to us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own goodness. Through these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, the promises, we might participate in the divine promise, in the divine nature. Rest in the promise of God this morning, because we have a covenant-keeping God. The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's no maybes with God. Do you know that? They're all yes. They're all amen. But let's get back to the bones. Joseph saw something else. He believed in the promise of God, but he believed also in the permanence of God in his life and for his people in another place, which wasn't going to be Egypt. He fully believed that Israel's stay in Egypt would be temporary and not as permanent citizens. He had 100% faith that God would return and rescue his brothers, and he wanted to go with them. So there's a sense in which Joseph here has a prophetic edge, doesn't he? He's not just looking at the present, he's looking at the future. He's looking what he knows God is going to do one day. He hasn't worked it out in his own mind. He doesn't probably know the sequence, but he knows that God has promised something, and he knows that in God's timing, God is going to bring that about. Look at the Genesis verses again in detail. God will surely visit you and come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. Joseph prophetically saw a day when God would deliver his people and take them out of Egypt. And even though his body was dead, he wanted to go with them. Isn't that amazing? He didn't accept that Egypt was going to be a permanent place for his remains because God had promised a better place for him. By faith, he saw himself participating in that inheritance. And to his brothers, he said, please don't leave me buried in Egypt. I want to come with you. If you do, make sure it's temporary and in such a way that you can dig me up easily and take me with you, because I want to go where you're going. I want to go to the promised land with you. That's what Joseph was saying. And in Genesis 50, they did exactly that, because it says when he died, they embalmed him and he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Now, that was a very Egyptian thing to do. The embalming and the placing in a coffin. But they put him in a box so they could transport him easily. I thought that was a good idea. Now, I don't know about you, but I find Joseph's faith for his future wonderful. Perhaps he hadn't got his resurrection of the physical body theology all sorted out. But one thing he knew, and he did believe, that when the Israelites went into the promised land, he wanted to go in with them. Or perhaps he had got it worked out and he didn't want to be in Egypt when his body was resurrected. He wanted to be resurrected one day in the promised land. That's exactly what happened. Because if you go to Exodus 13:19, it says that 400 years later, when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and just before they crossed the Red Sea, we read the verse earlier, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. And he said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. Joseph prophetically linked the movement of his physical remains with Israel's deliverance. He believed it was going to happen. What a legacy he left to carry his bones on all the journeys. He had no permanent resting place until he arrived in the permanent resting place. And every time they moved off on a journey, they heard a noise. And someone would say to Moses, what's that noise? And Moses would answer, oh, don't worry, that's only old Joseph rattling on again. But you see, Joseph, by faith, was saying, I want to be there. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. I want to be there, don't you? I want to be there. And by God's grace, I'm going to be there, aren't you? I'm going to be a partaker, I'm going to be a possessor of all that God has promised me. I not only see it as a future possibility, I know it as a future certainty. Hallelujah! I pray you do. Let's turn this round for a moment in our individual lives. Do you fully trust in the promises God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you believe your stay in this world, as symbolized by Egypt in Scripture, is only temporary and you're not a permanent citizen here? I don't know about you, but as I've got older, I've learned, you know, not to lay too much importance with the stuff down here. Do you know that? Because I'm thinking about what's going to happen up there. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Do you have 100% faith that God is going to return to rescue you? And do you want to go with him? Of course, if you love Jesus, you do. But let's not forget, friends, that the historical events here in Scripture are not just for our information theoretically. They contain vital spiritual truths for our spiritual lives. And Joseph's bones also bring to remembrance another important principle first established in Genesis. Recall the following statement that God made to Abraham so long ago, and I want to close with this morning. By faith, Joseph believed in the promise of God. He believed in the permanence of God, but he also believed in the purpose of God. The statement God made to Abraham long ago was something that Joseph remembered and he believed. It's found in Genesis 12. It's the original promise that God gave to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that's why our church always honors Israel. Because the Bible says that people who bless Israel will be blessed. That's an absolute inescapable fact. And it's a statement which Joseph remembered. Recall that when Egypt blessed Joseph, God also blessed Egypt by using Joseph to rescue Egypt during a worldwide famine at that time. And in the wisdom and intelligence and vision that God gave to Joseph, Joseph was able to stockpile the grain before the famine began. And in Genesis 40, the Bible says, during the 7 years' abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance and in Egypt and stored it in the cities. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. If it wasn't for Joseph, Egypt would certainly have perished for lack of food along with the other nations. Paradoxically, this same historical incident also served to bring about Egyptian enmity towards Israel, which led them cursing and enslaving the Hebrews. Because it was at this time that Joseph, in cooperation with Pharaoh, who ruled Egypt, ended up taking all the Egyptian people's wealth and eventually their independence as payment for the stored grain in order for them to survive. And if you read Genesis 47, if you read your Old Testament, you'll see that's absolutely true. And there arose a Pharaoh one day who knew not know Joseph, and that's how they became enslaved. And this hatred that Egypt harbored toward Israel caused them to be cursed by God. And you know what? It's a historical fact that after the Exodus, Egypt was never again to regain its former glory. And in closing, I want to give you two great spiritual takeaways that I get from Joseph's bones being carried out of Egypt. And I want you to take them away with you this morning. First of all, know that God keeps his promises. He's a covenant-keeping God. And though it may seem a long time to you in coming, and it took 400 years in Joseph's case, in his timing, God will bring about his perfect will for your life. The Lord is not slow concerning his promise, not wanting to anyone to perish, the Bible says, but everyone to come to repentance. Secondly, to me, this is a perfect reminder that our final resting place is not to be Egypt or this world. Hallelujah. Joseph's vision for the future was not determined by what he saw in the present, for he saw something greater and something better in the future. Don't let your vision for the future be determined by what you see now. All right? Let your vision be determined by what you see in God's promises. What is seen by faith in the not yet is still a reality because it will surely come to pass, friends. I see it even though I don't see it now, but one day I will. Joseph got there in the end because if you read Joshua 24, we read it together earlier, Joseph's bones, which he had been brought by the Israelites up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem. And this is life after death. It is life after the death of Joshua, after the Israelites had entered the promised land and the covenant had been renewed at Shechem. And I find it very, very important and significant that Shechem was the first place that God appeared to Abraham. And Shechem was the place where Joseph's great-grandfather first built an altar to the Lord. And if you check your Bibles, you'll find that to be true. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, how did Joseph really believe and know he was going to end up in the promised land? Do you know? He felt it in his bones. Hallelujah.